Hello and welcome to Quality Blether, the Scottish Testing Group podcast, where you don't have to be Scottish or a tester to have quality conversations about quality. I'm your host, Brian Jones, and my guest today is Kari Kapkonen. Kari is not only a test consultant, trainer, and expert practitioner, but he is also on the board of directors for TMMI, Finland ISTB, and an active ISTQB member. Add to that, he is also the author of a wonderful children's book about software testing called Dragons Out. Hello, Kari.
Hello, Brian. How are you?
Welcome to the podcast. I'm very good, thank you. Very good indeed. I think we ought to open this up as usual with just a little bit of background about you and how you became a tester in the first place. What's your educational background and your experience before we delve into the intricacies of your obsessions?
That's good. So I got almost 30 years of testing now on me. I have a degree in university on industrial management, but I had a technical minor, which was software development. And within that part, there was a tiny little bit of testing, just like last chapter of one book that we all had to read. And also that chapter was sort of cut off because the course was running out of time.
Sounds like testing generally, doesn't it?
It does, actually. Yeah, unfortunately, the last bit I always cut off. Yeah. But so I learned lots more after that on courses. On my first job already, I started with the software test automation tools. And so I was selling and doing pre-selling and training and things like that. And then from there I kind of expanded to all kinds of testing and training and consulting. So I picked it up, but I think the IT degree there helps to understand also how software testing works. So it was a good background anyway, even though I never coded for work. So my masterpiece is a three-dimensional chess game that I also tested on my own. Didn't really work, but it was good fun as an exercise.
That's pretty impressive in its own right, a three-dimensional chess game.
Yeah. It, especially those times with C and C++. It was not easy. The libraries for X were not that easy to use or good. But, you know, I passed the course. So that was the important part, I suppose.
That's the objective, isn't it? So,
yeah.
You were on the council for the ISTQB.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I was actually in the 6 years, I was in the executive committee of ISTQB, which is the top four people, which are elected for 2-year terms. So I had 3 terms. So yeah, it was quite illuminating to be in this big organization running testing certifications and testing content globally. Yeah, so that was quite interesting. And also before that and after that, I've been active in local level, so in the Finnish Software Testing Board. I've been a chairman and currently I'm a treasurer. So yeah, active all the time. I like to make the whole business of testing, or you know, whole field of testing better, not just take care of whatever happens in my company.
Talking about making things better, you also on TMMI board for Finland?
Or rather, the Finnish Software Testing Board is the TMMI local chapter as well. So I'm there, the TMMI responsible, and I am in the board of the whole TMMI. So TMMI, which is based in UK these days, I'm actually the secretary of the board of TMMI. So the global association, or rather foundation. It's a foundation.
Right, lots of titles behind your name then.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's good to be active. I think it's something I want to give back to the testing because I've got so much out of it.
You're also quite active around the more agile approaches to development, such as SAFe, etc. How does that fit with the TMMI stuff?
It fits quite nicely. So TMMI is just improvement framework or approach into testing, and it doesn't really matter what kind of lifecycle model you are using, if it's SAFe or Scrum or Kanban or I don't know, some continuous delivery Spotify model, something like that, or waterfall model, V model. It doesn't really matter. They all fit because you anyway need to think about, let's say, test environments. You anyway need to think about measurement. So whatever the structure is, that framework actually works. So you look into the state of those things, like let's say measurement. How good is your measurement regarding testing in your or in your team? And you need to ask these questions anyway, regardless if you are working in a SAFe organization or let's say a V model organization. Yeah. Some details are different. How you implement those things will be different, but you need to see if they are, if you have them in good level or not.
So you'd recommend TMMI as a maturity model for any software development approach, but you have to tailor it, you have to adapt it according to.
If you take the TMMI framework PDF, several hundred pages, examples of how different things are implemented there, I would say they are from traditional world. But then you take a look at the TMMI white papers, which TMM also publishes. They publish how you apply the framework of a model to any other context. So I think one of the key papers there is the TMMI in Agile white paper, which really explains that, okay, if you have an Agile project or Agile team and you are assessing that team, this is how you apply a certain maturity level or certain area on a maturity level, certain process in the area.
That's very
So
interesting.
it's useful. Yeah, it works. Yeah.
Because there's a general understanding that TMMI is very old school, traditional, all structured, what agilists tend to refer to as waterfall is slightly inaccurate in that respect.
Yeah, it's not. I get that's a feeling and that can be the impression, but yeah, it works. I use it myself for assessing very agile, very DevOps teams, and I it's work to have a structured view into assessing a situation at the company, even in agile. Yeah.
You mentioned that when you were doing your degrees, that there was a little bit of software testing including that, which is unusual. Most courses don't even include any whatsoever.
Yeah.
So it seems to be one of your passions, this educating people about software testing.
It is, yeah. True.
So how has that sort of expanded? How have you sort of taken on the world of development and tried to educate them about testing.
That's a good point. I think it has many sides to the story. One is, of course, the whole existence of ISTQB and the Finnish Software Testing Board as one of the member boards and one of the founding boards as well of that organization. And I think that was born from the idea that everybody feels the pain, but that there is not enough testing in the world. And it's not testing is not recognized in universities, in computer degree and courses or degrees themselves. In companies, it's not really that much known. So I got into that idea that, yeah, let's educate the world about more testing. And so I was kind of sucked into the ISTQB world, and I was quite happily helping explain about testing to really many different parties in different countries. And from there, also the local testing society in Finland, there are many. So Finnish board is only one of the four, I think, different testing communities or societies, which are kind of also advancing testing profession. And so I also got involved to some of those. So I tried to get meetups running and, you know, people talking to each other and sharing experiences. And then gradually I started sawing more and more, seeing so more and more people who also made it, you could say, a profession. So either trained or spoke publicly or wrote books. And I wanted to do all of that myself. And you know, it became an ambition. Okay, well, I want to be an author and I want to be an international speaker. And you know, gradually I did more and more, but in past 20 years, more and more. At some point, there was a chance to join a book project. That was 9 years ago, I think, eight. And then I was part of the Agile Testing Foundation book author team, which was a very nice experience. And that kind of strengthened my idea that I also want to author my own book and, you know, educate some more people. And then I was looking into angles. So who can I address? Because ICQB tries to address lots of university level people and from that age onwards. So I realized that nobody's really addressing children. So I also wanted to then extend educating about testing to children and thus my Dragon South book.
Yes, which I first saw at the Eurostar conference when you presented your Dragons Out Oi talk. There's very much a movement at the moment that the children should get involved in technology, in understanding how to program, in understanding all that. But there isn't that much around the other side of it. Okay, you've written something. How do you now make sure it works? How do you make sure it doesn't break? How do you test it? So I think your book is perfectly placed for the current zeitgeist. But one of the things I liked about it was the way that you identify the dragons in your book with the different sorts of bugs. How long did it take you to work out all the different characteristics for the dragons to make them work?
Well, not that long actually. It was quite an intuitive process. I had a kind of structure in my mind that lets list of all kinds of defects that there can be, and you know, there are many different defect listings and taxonomies. Of course, I chose to use Kim Kainer's bug taxonomy as a source. So the high level grouping of different kinds of defects, and then I had that list, and I was thinking, okay, I need to somehow make a story grow, make the characters in the story grow, and also introduce new defect types, new bug types, and new testing types that can be used for finding these particular defects. So I was always, you know, starting a new chapter and thinking, okay, how okay, these are the things I need to fit in here. Okay, what could be the next defect that somehow I can also imagine the fantasy story in the same setting, working toward. So I was kind of moving two storylines at the same time, you know, a little bit more bugs and testing, and a little bit more of a fantasy story that has dragons and knights. Jumping around, and so it was just, you know, intuition and trying things out. Maybe I wrote one chapter twice, but usually I actually wrote it only once, and it was there. And obviously, after I had enough chapters, I had pilot readers, so pilot readers would give me feedback that, okay, here's illogicalities, and I would make this different in this way, and very good feedback, and you know, so I wrote it in an agile manner, probably like one chapter, and I already gave it to a few pilot readers. Four chapters, I gave it to 10 pilot readers, another four chapters, another 10 pilot readers, and so on until I had everything together. So yeah, it was quite good process. But it didn't take that long. We review cycle with pilot cycle did time, but the first version of each chapter was just like a few hours each.
Have you had any interesting feedback from pilot readers, from children that have been exposed to it?
Oh yeah. Of course, children are often quite short in very feedbacks.
Blunt.
So they wouldn't go for long sentences, but I think the best one I heard was from a son of a friend of mine who read the book, and my friend went and said that he just read the book in one go, and after that he said that I want to be a software director too when I grow up. So I think that's the ideal feedback that I wanted to hear as well, and I was very happy to hear it. It was really good.
Perfect
Yeah.
response, yes.
It was, yeah.
So you've also got other stuff around this. You've got a PowerPoint presentation that teachers or even parents can use.
Yeah.
You've also got a game, and I believe that you've got a bigger version of the game planned on the way.
Yeah. Yeah, the game is at the state of an idea. So one ambitious and very interested reader from Poland actually created a game with Scratch. So that's very nice. But my main idea about the game is to, I don't know, in a year or two, to actually create a learning game that would use all the characters, all the bug types, all the testing types introduced in my Dragonstyle book, and then kind of turn that into a game. So all of the content would be there, and it would be all these characters having adventures and then encountering interesting situations that would be defects or problems that can be solved, and then you can learn how to solve them, and then that's how you learn testing. You get tips and you can try things out, and then you learn. But yeah, that's still on the way, and it might never happen. I do hope it happens, but I need to find a time at some point to do it.
Yeah, you mentioned a Polish guy helping there. You've actually had this translated into over 20 languages as well.
Yeah, the PowerPoint is all 20 languages. That's right, and the book is currently 4 languages. But the PowerPoint is of course free, and it's a Creative Commons license, so it's really working for anybody anywhere in the world. So I've actually declared a challenge that different volunteers, why don't we together make this PowerPoint available to any teacher anywhere or any parent anywhere in the world with any language? Because it's not that many slides, so you can translate it to local language quite easily. And that's how we've gone now with the group of volunteers translating it to over 20 languages. So yeah, very interesting languages as well from different parts of the world, like Japanese language. There's Spanish, of course, there's German, there's French, there's Armenian, there's Finnish, of course, but I am quote myself. But yeah, it's adding up all the time, so that's quite nice. And the book itself is by my own first project. I released it in Finnish and English at the same time with two different publishers, and since that, French version and Polish version have been published as well, and the German version is at the moment already translated, and we are looking for a German publisher, so I would expect it to be out in a year or something like that.
So, world domination with your book.
Let's see. I just hope that people will talk about the testing when they teach IT or teach coding. So let's see if this is a tool for that. Let's hope.
Okay. So, what's the target audience? Who and how are you expecting your book to be used?
Well, I think there are two target audiences, and then a third audience, which is kind of interested people testers typically. Testers like to read about testing, so solving the word audience is kind of unintended, but lots of testers like this book because it's a different way to talk about testing. But the people I really target are, well, children, but children through parents and through teachers. So through parents, it works in a way that, okay, we are working in IT, we want to teach our children about IT, whatever we do, we do testing, what is testing, and they can explain testing quite nicely through a book, and maybe get our children interested in testing career later on. And for teachers, because lots of schools, lots of elementary schools, different levels of schools, they are taking in coding education these days, very often as part of math education. That's how it's anyway grouped in Finland. They also need tools to talk about testing and not only coding. So I think there, those teachers who are teaching coding, they need some help to explain a difficult topic like testing. And then they can say, just take a ready to be used PowerPoint or the book and use it. And depending on the extent, they can use it for one day or, you know, one class, 2 hours, or they can just spend a whole period, like 3 months worth of classes, you know, one class a week with the book and all the testing topics and all the exercises. So it could be used a little or a lot, depending on ambitions of a teacher. So I think those are the target groups.
I particularly like the poem at the start that Paul Gerard did for you about the book.
Oh yeah. Paul is amazing. He's been a good mentor here and very, very nice words through a poem. Yeah.
I think I might get him to read that out for me. I'll get him to record it, and we might include it on this podcast. I think
Sounds
that'll be a
good.
nice
Yeah.
addition. So,
That is pretty good.
what's the aspirations next? Other than
Well,
world
I'm
domination with your book.
yeah, I'm trying to add more languages for both a book and a PowerPoint. So for sure, talk about the importance of, you know, helping our children to learn about testing through any angle. So conferences, podcasts, other important part of that. I do plan also to write a sequel at some point. But before that, more translations. And so currently I'm looking into the German translation. As I said, it's translated but not published. Hungarian team is looking also for translation, and the Chinese team is looking for translation. So I intend to help these teams to translate and find local publishers. So that's also out there. And whatever else comes, I think I'm gonna sidetrack. I already have sidetracked to writing other stuff. I just co-authored with a colleague from Finnish Testing Board a book about test leadership, which was published last year in Finnish. So this year we will translate that to English, and let's see how big uptake we'll get to that book.
I'd be
So I
interested in
think
that
I'll
one.
just keep writing more content. I think that's also what will happen. Yeah, and obviously I keep training, which is what I do for living anyway. You know, writing book is not about getting rich or getting living out of. It's just an ambition and something to help the world in general. You need to get your money out of something, and for me, it's training adults about testing and agile and DevOps at Knowit, where I work daily.
As I said earlier, the current zeitgeist is around kids learning how to program and learning about
Yeah.
technology. And this certainly is a very appropriate adjunct to that. But why do you think it's important for kids to learn about those skills?
That's a good question, and I think the answer is slightly different to what different governments usually say, because they would say, let me say that first. So they would say usually that children need to learn to code because that's a new general skill in the world of more and more IT and technology. So everybody needs to be able to code, and that's why they put coding into math classes, and everybody has to learn a little bit of coding. So I don't think that that's necessary. That's kind of strange, but I do think that it's good to learn a little bit of coding, because then those people who get interested to code or to test as an extension, those children then can hear about coding and then get carried away and may become very good coders and testers at early age. So that's great. But testing in particular, so this is my answer then, testing in particular is it's about critical thinking.
Yes.
And these skills are needed not only for the IT and creating software, but they are also needed for living in this world, which is more and more strange things and fake news and different even lies that are out there. So you and complexity in general. So you need to understand as a human being living in this world to apply critical thinking skills. Have a criticism against anybody's views or facts or things that are explained as facts. Is this really true or could it be wrong somehow? And testing is really teaching that skill. So I think that's why testing
That
is really
chimes very
needed.
strongly with my view of the skills that a tester needs, being curiosity, critical thinking, systems thinking, negotiation and communication, as well as technical skills. And I think they're definitely
Agree.
skills for life. They're skills that everybody should have. So that definitely chimes very strongly with me. So how do you
Good
see
one.
the industry trends going with testing at the moment? Because there's lots of debates going on various social media around you don't need testers anymore, get rid of your testers, or you need to have a strong community of practice of testing, or all the different versions. How do you see that panning out?
I think it's all needed. All kinds of testing is good. I think in general with the more complex software, we need more testing anyway. It doesn't really matter in the end how it's created. I'm fine with any schools or any ideas or any angles to that. It's not going away for sure. When we have some new idea, it might look like for a short while that there's less need for testing, but generally it's not really true. It's just changing in form. And so let's think about test automation. Then that became more and more common in past 20 years. People thought that there's no more testers needed. Test automation can do all of it. But what really happened was, of course, that test automation became a tool for developers and testers to do more with less time, which was actually needed as well, because at the same time the complexity of software increased, and the lead time to production also decreased. So we needed to test more in less time. So that was actually a must. And the same thing is happening today with AI. People think if artificial intelligence is making such test automation tools that testers aren't needed anymore, or testing in general. Again, I think it's just transforming, and we will have different kinds of testing that is using AI to be more effective. And again, for human beings, I think we will be using our creativity to think about good tests and different tests, and then let AI and test automation to do those things that it can do very effectively, which would be create test cases and execute them and monitor how they are running, et cetera, et cetera. So these things will be more automatic. Another angle is developers and testers with the onmarch of agile and DevOps and teams becoming more autonomous. There has been a tendency that testing as a task will be just one task of developers in a team. But I do believe that, again, test knowledge is more than understanding how a few tests are run. And so every agile team or every DevOps team has a place for somebody with a testing background. Because then you have stronger and more versatile testing in the team. So take it from any angle, I think there's always need for testing. Testing finds a way to exist and to be done.
Testing champions will always be necessary in one form or another. That's a very
Yeah.
heartening message. Now, one of the questions I usually ask my guests is to recommend their top books, but your blog site has got a list of books, including a list of 100 books in one of them. So, what's your favorite book at this point in time?
At this point in time, I would highlight Perfect Software by Gerald Weinberg. That's a really great book. Maybe slightly the angle that I like, and storytelling angle into how things are going in IT, and that kind of fits the learning style of many people. So you read a nice story, and then you learn importance of different aspects of IT. In that software, actually, a lot about bugs and testing, as it happens. Similar book in that writing style. Also, one of my favorites is the Phoenix Project, which is really about DevOps and how teams become more well DevOps. And that's a great book as well. Also, storytelling type book.
Yeah, it's interesting how Jerry Weinberg, he's been around for quite a while, and his books have been around for quite a while, and yet he still seems relevant. He still gets quoted so often. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think when you create a masterpiece, that book will live on. I think he has just written so good ideas and crystallized ideas in those books so well that they keep getting quoted. They are good books.
Indeed.
So I think that's why, yeah.
One more question for you. What question should I have asked you? What would you want me to ask?
That's a good one. That's a good one. Maybe about where, well, you kind of ask it, about different kinds of testing. Where is testing going? Because I think that's the big question for all of us. And in general, I think then the answer is where is testing going? Is that it needs to go wherever we need it to go to ensure good quality for software. So I would try to expand all the testers' minds to think about the quality in general. And I do appreciate being a tester, and I can call myself a tester, and I appreciate anybody who wants to do that, but it's a little bit of an ego thing as well. So if you can try to forget that ego, and how can I be a good team member that can contribute to quality, early quality in best possible way, whatever task, whatever work that might be, I think then you can be, fulfilling your testing ambitions much better than just thinking about in a more narrow term of testing. But I think that's where testing needs to go.
How do you think that testers can do that? Can be, I use the word champion. How can they be quality champions within the teams? Because at the moment, we do tend to get siloed as like we do it at the end. And occasionally people talk about shift left, which doesn't really sit that well with me as a term. I prefer the idea of building in quality. So, how can we become those quality champions? What do we need to do?
I think we need to learn more, and so that more could be about coding. That more could be about review techniques. That could be about agile practices in general, DevOps practices, and it could be learning how production works. How can we test in production? So that would be shift right. So it's not only shift left; it's also shift right, and learn about everything really, and then gradually we can Because I think we have this quality mindset anyway. Testers have a quality mindset, so we can then expand our mindset to finding problems early or in different places by looking into these new places and trying to be active in those places. So yeah, learning is the key. Learning of new things and then trying to work in that space with the team always, and then you're going to be able to apply your quality thinking skills in diverse areas.
There's also quite a lot of conversation at the moment, and there has been over the years, around respect. The fact that testers don't tend to get the same level of regard as developers or even project managers. And yet we spend most of our time studying and reading and learning. How can we improve our standing within the world?
That's a really good one. I do think it happens by showing that we are those valuable team members that the team and any company needs. And then if it comes to talking about salary, we can say and we should say that we must have the same salary as any other team member.
That'd be nice.
And then companies' cultures will change gradually, and it will happen. I know it has happened in many companies. I also know companies where testers have less salary and have less standing and appreciation. But it is happening. But you need to talk about it, make it simple that we can't be second grade citizens. We must be same level as any team member. And it is happening. It is happening because we talk about it, but it's also actually happening maybe kind of weirdly because testing is becoming more technical task. And then if you are able to test automate something, use test automation tools, code test automation, then you are pretty much a coder yourself. And then again, there's no difference between a developer and a automation programmer or test specialist.
Do you think that
So it's also happening because of that.
there's going to be a greater focus due to some of the testing disasters that have come to light recently, like the Post Office Horizon scandal in the UK, and like the Canada bot that was giving very strange advice on their website, and for instance the problems with Boeing.
Big problems. I do think people would generally say that's bad IT. So people from outside of IT, they wouldn't notice that's lack of testing necessarily. That's just badly done. They should have noticed this. So I think it of course helps. It helps to argument that we need more testing and better testing and better valued testers, appreciation for testers. It does help there a little bit, but I think it's still up to the IT companies themselves or the IT departments to talk about the equality of team members. And everybody has a big share in building great products. And testers and testing is needed there as well. In the end, that's an internal thing.
You're very kindly going to be doing a lunch and learn session for Software Testing Group in April 19th, I believe. So,
Yeah, happy to do that.
looking forward to that greatly. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you, and I hope that we get a chance to chat again soon. And I'll certainly be on that lunch and learn session, hoping to learn more. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much, Brian. It's been a pleasure.
Carrie's book is full of dragons, you see. A children's book, but parents, wait and see. With fiercest dragons so scary to me, and software testing. What is that to me? This book speaks of myth and modern legend. Dragons lurk and children are the heroes in a mythical software testing land. Dark, boogie places no one ever goes. But dragons are both good and bad, you know. The best stories involve both bad and good. And evil reaps as evil tends to sow. So now, read this book, you know that you should. What is testing? Did you not think to ask? An exploratory learning journey? A difficult critical thinking task? Toughest job in software projects to be? You hold a book of two halves in your hand, two stories that run always parallel. This book gives you much more than you have planned, killing dragons and testing very well.
Thank you to Kerry. Thank you to Paul Gerard for reciting his poem. And thank you for listening. Check out the show notes for the links mentioned and join us next time on Quality Blether for quality conversations about quality.